Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament lectionary podcast for Bible lovers everywhere. I'm Reverend Dr. Rachel Wren, Assistant Professor of Biblical Studies at Trinity Lutheran Seminary at Capital University.
And I'm Tim McNinch, Assistant Professor of Hebrew Bible at Christian Theological Seminary. This week, we're bringing you all sorts of good preaching tips and tricks on the first reading for Sunday, September 22nd, 2024. Rachel, you're up this week, and who knows where that will lead us. Where are you going to take us this time, Rachel?
Not too far afield, because on this time, we have one of my favorite psalms.
Where have I heard that before?
I know. But I do have a high number of psalms that are my favorites. I don't say that to all of them, but I have many favorite children among the psalms. But this one's a really, really good one, and it's one that I have a really long history with as well. So for today's preaching text, I'm suggesting that preachers take a look at the psalm that's paired with the semi-continuous reading, Psalm 1.
Yeah, of course, Psalm 1, yeah.
That's a good one.
Friends, if you have trouble finding that, just open to the book of Psalms and then turn zero pages.
Turn zero, it's right there. But first time I was a camp counselor, I was doing the Psalms with my little third graders, and they kept calling it the Book of Palms. Where are palms now? Where are the palms?
That's right. Every Sunday's Palm Sunday.
That's right. Exactly. No, but there are so many things that I love about this psalm, and so many things that I see as preaching points as well. But I wanted to start by telling just a little bit of my history with the psalm. There's kind of two big touch points, and I'm going to go backwards in time. So the most recent one first, and then the older one later. A couple of years ago, we moved from Atlanta to Ohio, my husband and our two kids and I, and it was a big move. The previous time that we'd moved, our kids were really little. They were like 2 and 3. And this time they were, going into, first grade and third grade, which is still pretty young, but they had kind of like established themselves.
Right.
And so it was a scary move. And this psalm for me just carried this promise. You know, when you get to verse 3, it talks about the way that the righteous will be planted like trees by streams of water. And when you're uprooted and the people you care about and are responsible for are also uprooted, like that's a big promise. So I memorized the first verse of the psalm in Hebrew, and when I was going through a really tough time, I would just say it to myself. I say, "Asherei ha'ish asher lo chalach ba'atzad roshaim." It talks about happiness. It talks about rootedness, and all of that was something I was desperately longing for myself and my family at that time.
Beautiful. Yeah. We can end the podcast right there.
Yeah. So that, I mean, you know, this is one of the touch points of faith for me. And I think it could be for a lot of people. Kind of going a little more meta for a minute, the Psalms is one of the most interesting places in scripture in my mind, because it talks about something that we are really obsessed with in today's world, and that's happiness. Talk about happiness, self-help books, happiness how-to, you know, happiness, all sorts of things, especially if you're talking in terms of parenting. The first word of this psalm is often translated as blessed. Blessed is the one who. And that's just a bad translation. This is asherei. This is full on the word for happy. Happy is the one. Blessed would be, a triconsonantal root of barak, but this is happiness. So I love that about this psalm. You know, right away, it's centering us in what is going to lead the good life, what is going to lead the happy life. And it has a very, you know, particular thing that it thinks about what makes for a happy life.
It's pretty profound that the very first word of the whole Psalter, the whole book of Psalms, is happy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that that's worth just pausing as preachers, like just pause there with your people and talk about the emotions that we have are really a present concern in the Bible, especially in the Psalms. So
there's a lot in the Psalms that's not happy, happy, happy.
Right. There's a lot more emotions that we have than happiness.
Absolutely. As you know, with your whole dissertation project on anger and whatnot, but as a framing of the collection, to start with happiness, this is what this is leading us all towards. This is what we're seeking. And the wisdom for that is found herein.
Yeah, right. Exactly. In this psalm and what follows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What's so interesting then about the even the first couple of verses of this psalm is it starts with that emotion word, happiness, and then it jumps straight to bodies. So you can see where, you know, this is Dr. Wren's greatest hits coming out here. But it's so embodied, you know, this the beginning of the song, happy is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked, who does not stand in the counsel of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. There is a distinct attention here that if you want happiness in your life, one of the things you need to pay attention to is your body, the spaces that your body is in, the words that your body is taking in, where your body is seated, and by extension, where it's grounded. So it's concerned with thoughts, it's concerned with emotion, but it's also concerned with what happens to our thoughts and emotions based on what is happening to our bodies. And I think that's a really great thing, again, to just think about and talk about with parishioners. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't a treatise on happiness, but I mean, if we're thinking about sort of the framework of what happiness is here, on some level, happiness for the psalmist is embodied. It's not an abstract sort of detached sort of thing, but this is what you experience in your physical body.
Yes, exactly. And it's embodied, especially in your relationships and the way your body reacts to those relationships. So if you are surrounded by scoffers, sinners, and wicked, what does that do to your body versus when you are surrounded by those who are, you know, taking their delight in the law of God?
Mm.
So that's another reason that I love this psalm. It goes on to specifically locate how people can experience that sort of happiness beyond sort of restricting their bodies. Okay, my body is not walking, sitting, or standing in these places, but what is my body doing? So verse 2 talks about how the law is their delight, and the yehgeh on the law yomam v'layla. That's a little Hebrew English. Whoa, it's not like Spanglish. Hebrish? How did you do that? It's talking about where do you take your delight in, and specifically in the law. That word yehgeh is a really fun one because, you know, it's often translated as like meditate or muse, which to us is very cerebral, but it's really kind of like mutter, moan, mumble. You know, it's kind of this idea of, again, embodied. You are making the sounds with your mouth, and because of that, it's living in your body in a way more so than when you're just thinking it.
Yeah, sort of like what you did when you moved to Ohio.
Right.
Reciting. Yeah. Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach.
Yeah.
Right. You're yehegeing.
I was, very much so, because if I yehegeed over and over again, hopefully it would come true. So the funny part, though, is that this is the part where I actually go to my other memory of this psalm, which is me not liking this psalm when I was growing up. This was not my favorite psalm. It was one of my least favorite psalms. So I was, you know, backstory. For those of you who don't know me, I was really immersed in the Lutheran tradition when I was growing up. Spoiler alert, like obviously. But because I was a dorky child and an even dorkier teenager, I read some of Luther's original works before I was out of high school because it's a great way to talk to boys. No, it's not. unless you marry my husband. It actually was a great way to talk to
right.
Anyway, one of my favorites of Luther's was Freedom of a Christian. And as I sat with that one and a couple of his other works, I picked up on the idea that you have to be a very, you know, if you're going to be a good Lutheran, you have to really despise the law. That's a theme that's really common in a lot of Luther's works. So now, in my naive teenaged zeal, I thought that every time the word law popped up in the Bible, especially in the Hebrew Bible, that's what Luther was talking about. So I would come to this psalm and I was like, oh, this is not Lutheran. I will turn the page and I will not read this psalm. As I grew older, had more sophisticated contact with Lutheran theology, I realized that I was wrong. The law is more like a concept. It's a dialectic between law and gospel, between what binds us and what frees us. And it's not necessarily always present when you're reading the Old Testament, you find the word law. In this case, the word law is, of course, the word Torah. Torah can be translated law, But that is like a skinny, slimmed down, malnourished translation of this rich and robust word. When I'm with Christians, especially in this psalm, one of the ways I like to translate this is not as law, but just as the word, or as the phrase actually, word of God. So in the word of God is their delight. And upon the word of God, they yehkeh, they mutter day and night. You know, I think that captures some of the theology that we as Christians have about word and the word of God. And it imparts that to Torah in a way that the Torah actually has, the word Torah actually has, but we lose when we just translate it as law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the word has a kind of, I don't know if didactic is the right concept, but it's meant to help us. It's a pathway towards the ashrei happiness thing. It's the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is not so much about, you know, here are the rules, but it's about here's a map, a pathway, some instruction to get you there.
Yeah, exactly. It's about facilitating the relationship between us and God in a way that causes life to flourish both for us and for others around us. And in Christianity, we have that concept and the idea of the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And again, relationship comes to the surface in the psalm, right? So it's are you forging relationships with those who are taking you on this other path?
Yeah.
Or is your relationship being built with the Lord through this Torah, through this word?
And what's so fun about that is when you build that relationship, you actually stop moving in a way because you become grounded. You know, there's that gorgeous image of trees that are planted with these deep, deep roots going deep into wet, nourishing soil. And then from that, they move immediately. The psalm in its poetry moves immediately back to the wicked and their bodies. But it represents them as chaff that the wind blows away. I was preaching on Psalm 1 a couple of weeks ago, and this congregation had an ASL interpreter through the whole service. So he interpreted the hymns, the readings, my sermon, and I preached on Psalm 1, and it was so cool to watch him do chaff because he it was something like this, and then he just went, and it was just the most beautiful. A beautiful representation of chaff, especially when you're comparing it to that idea of a tree, you know, just so sturdy. Mm-hmm. And then I think finally, I'll just leave this one little tidbit that the thing I really love about this psalm, in addition to everything I've said already, is that the ultimate promise of the psalm has hope for everybody. Because it talks about the wicked are like chaff, but at the end in verse 6, it says the way of the wicked will be destroyed or will fall away. It's not necessarily the wicked themselves, but it's that path. And so it's almost like that path that's taking people into wickedness, that's the thing that will ultimately be destroyed.
Yeah, road closed.
Yeah, exactly.
Detour.
Detour, become a tree.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I haven't ever really thought about it that way, but I mean the opening here is between these two paths, two ways of traveling, and one is to travel with the word of God, which roots you, plants you, nourishes you, or there's this other path that's not gonna survive because God's attention is on the first path. God's attention is not on that path. So you're sort of left to your own devices.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work out well for you. That path's going to lead to a dead end.
So, yeah, exactly. Well, so.
All sorts of great insights into this very short poem. And I think lots of different directions that a sermon could go. And that's one of the things that's great about picking up the Psalms as a sermon text is there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
And you don't have to follow like a particular structural, you know, here are the 3 points in the poem and here's the 3 points of the sermon. You can kind of go where it takes you.
You can. And I would say that's a really important point. So I would just emphasize that you could pick one verse and preach on that verse. You could go step by step through the psalm, especially since it is so short. I would encourage preachers, if you're used to preaching with illustrations, like I have to have the life illustrations that illustrate this. You don't need that when you're preaching a poem. because the illustrations are already there.
All the imagery is baked right in.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. So, I mean, you know, if you want to tell a story about a tree, like I did that when I preached on this, but you don't have to go far to find it. It's right there for you. So just dive in, swim around, and have fun.
Well, thanks for bringing your longstanding history with this introductory psalm to our audience and to me. This was great, Rachel.
It was a joy.
Well, folks, that'll wrap us up for this week of First Reading. You can find all of our back episodes and everything else that you would ever want to know about the First Reading Podcast at firstreadingpodcast.com, our website.
Just full stop after that. Whatever you want to know, you will find it on that website.
All knowledge and insight is found on this one website.
Right.
Thanks to all of you out there who listen to us regularly or watch us on the YouTubes, and especially to those of you who toss a few dollars our way to help cover our costs. We really appreciate that. If you're interested in making a donation to support First Reading, you can find a link to that on our website. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Until next time, I'm Tim McNinch.
And I'm Rachel Wren. Happy preaching.